You're listening to the Incomparables Total Party Kill podcast, in which a group of friends play Dungeons & Dragons on the internet for your amusement. This is episode number 422, starting a new Candlekeep adventure. Recorded December 2021, posted November 2023. Do.
Hello, nerds, and welcome back to Total Party Kill. It's me, Tony Sindelar, he, him, your dungeon master. Today, we are starting off a new adventure, something we'll always like to do here at Total Party Kill, because new adventure brings with it new players, returning characters, and, you know, it's just a feeling of potential and possibility. All these ideas I have in my head that have yet to come crashing down as the players come impacting with them. I am full of hope and aspirations that will just... You know, they have not been completely deflated yet. Let us meet our players, who will be soon to destroy all my hopes and dreams. I'll introduce our players, and they will introduce their characters, including some new characters, and we will get into it. So, I should mention we are playing the level 4 Candlekeep adventure, which is called Shemshime's Bedtime Rhyme from the Candlekeep Mysteries collection of adventures. So, first up, it's Aline Sims. Hi, Aline.
Hi, I play Lapis, the Tabaxi Cleric. Our pronouns are she, her.
Thanks, Aline. Next up, it's Erica Ensign.
Hello, I am playing Frittata. There's an obnoxious apostrophe in there, Frittata. I am a Goliath Barbarian, and possibly related to Goliath Barbarian you might know from another campaign, just saying our pronouns.
Through time and space.
Our pronouns are she, her.
Also joining us, it's Tiff Armette. Hi, Tiff.
Hey, I'm a she, her, playing a he, him, and it's Paulie Quartz, the rock gnome druid. You might remember me from such adventures as other adventures. That's all I got. Hey,
You have a sidekick also. I don't know if you want to mention the sidekick, mainly because it may be helpful for you remembering that you have a sidekick. I forget player sidekicks real fast.
Two sidekicks. It's okay. I have one main sidekick. His name is Lil Antony. He is a quasit, but he's nice and tame now. He's pretty chill unless he, you know, you get on his wrong side and then he's probably going to bite you. And also we got this rug. We named it Cuddles. So... Cuddles is our new addition here.
Like an assistant sidekick. You're building out a whole bureaucracy under...
I like to call it a crew. I don't know. Mm. Just that's what comes to me.
Mm-hmm. Also joining us, new to Candlekeep, but a returning player here at Total Party Kill, it's Rosemary Orchard. Hi, Rosemary.
Hello. I am Rosemary, she-her, playing Tulipa Flos, she-her, who is a fairy wizard with a cat, which may or may not look a little bit like an octopus, but that's beside the point. And the cat's name is Octavia, because a cat needs a real name. And as I'm a fairy wizard, I may or may not be slightly smaller than the cat. That is to be determined at a later date.
Mm-hmm. Now, Tulipa Floss, you may, something just a seed to plant, is that admission into the Candlekeep Library does require the donation of one book. It has to be a book that... does not currently exist in the collection, so you might want to think about what book you have donated to get into admittance. I think all of our other players have previously made donations. We have one other returning Candlekeeper, and that's Kathy Campbell. Hi, Kathy.
Hello, I am she, her, and I am playing Hermione. Nay! She, her, who is a centaur fighter.
Excellent. So this this group includes some of the folks from Mastros Mighty Digressions, as well as, I'm bad at math here, is four people? Does Lil Antony count as a person? That's offensive. four player characters from Mastros Mighty Digressions and Tulipa Floss, who you met on the road back to Candlekeep.
Candlekeep being... wasn't part of I was the previous one where I was crawling in an attic.
She crawled through the ceiling for us.
Yes.
I remember that. I had forgotten who was and wasn't in the thing I played before because I'm real bad at keeping track of the
It's fine.
At the end of the previous adventure, a raven had like arrived at the campsite, and basically, I think Frittata and Polly and the rug and little Antony were like, "You guys got this. We're heading off." So we went somewhere else. We had some adventures. Basically, picture an 8-foot Goliath barbarian carrying a rolled up rug on one shoulder and a rock gnome druid on the other shoulder, possibly with a little quasit like flying around overhead and just, you know, having some fun until we run into this super sweet, cool centaur. And then we have some more wacky adventures mm-hmm. before we head back to Candlekeep.
Okay. And we're just going to say for the purpose of story economy, you have met Tulupa Floss. That could be literally just minutes ago, basically waiting in line to get back into Candlekeep. Or you could say that you've been traveling together for as much time as you as players wish to establish. But you're all going to arrive back at Candlekeep together. And it is true that the book dropped off by a raven, Townley, as played by Monty Ashley, totally swooped that book and is going to go off on his own other book-related adventure, because every adventure in Candlekeep involves a book that is a problem, that is an opportunity.
That's awesome. And Aline, you can decide if Lapis wanted to go on our crazy adventures or other crazy adventures.
I think Lapis is pretty invested in figuring out what's going on with the drought, which is the whole reason why we went to Candlekeep and probably hightailed it back to the library to page through more books.
Yeah, gotcha. There's always more research to be done. So as you are arriving at Candlekeep, you are getting there just before nightfall. And they are there's a bit of people are kind of antsy to get through the gates into Candlekeep as they're about to be shut for the night. And it looks like there was a big event that took place. The Court of Air, which is the big kind of huge courtyard within the walls of Candlekeep. For Candlekeep is... You know, it is a huge, immense library with adjoining buildings. Is it a walled city? Is it a library? It's both. It's a little heavy on the library, a little light on the city. But people are eager to get inside before the gates close for the night. And it does look like you are basically arriving after some kind of huge event happened. There's all kinds of stalls set up for selling books and performances and food and whatnot in the Court of Air that are like being packed up for the night. So, the Candlekeep Library seems unusually busy, a lot more people kind of milling around than the usual kind of solemn, quiet affairs. So I think many of you are returning visitors to Candlekeep. So you just like, you know, I think there's a magic sigil rubber stamp that they put on your hand.
It only shows up under black light.
Yeah, only under magic black light. So you don't have to bring a new book every time. I mean, I think your book,
thank goodness,
your book covers you for at least a year, right?
Okay. I wrote the book I gave them, so I don't have time to write another one right now, you guys.
You do not have time to write another book. So you get waved in. Tulipa, are you a returning patron to Candlekeep, or is this your first time through? In which case, you will be asked by the monk-like order of librarians that maintain Candlekeep Library for a book donation.
Well, I have yet to visit Candlekeep, therefore I must donate a book, and therefore I will be donating High Fire by Owen Colfer, which is a new book by him, but it's full of magical dragons, which I understand that could be of interest to the
new releases. Always exciting here to get at Candlekeep. They mainly, you know, they're those get checked out real fast. So your book is graciously accepted by an avowed who looks like he is very eager to get off shift and wave through into the main Court of Air courtyard in the Candlekeep. It does seem like Candlekeep is kind of on the verge of shutting down for the evening. You can hear kind of like the ruckus coming from the hearth and the House of Rest, which is the kind of tavern and inn over on the south side of Candlekeep. Is clearly lots of people already there. Some of the other businesses that are inside the Court of Air kind of closing up for the night. You see the blacksmith kind of like closing the gates and he's literally closing the barn door on the stables. Temple of Ogma, which is the shrine to the god of knowledge, is closing up. The House of Binding is already shut for the night. There's the emerald doors leading into the inner sanctuary of Candlekeep, all vaulted up. And it looks like, you know, you are just here, just in time to maybe find somewhere to sleep and then set out on whatever adventures might await you the next day.
Is there a place that you know, as returners, is there a place that we would automatically go back to sleep? Or every time you come into Candlekeep, do you have to check in with a porter or something like that and be told what room you are supposed to go into?
You would need to check in at the hearth and purchase rooms either in the hearth and the House of Rest are kind of the two inns in Candlekeep. House of Rest is a little bit more quiet. The hearth is a little bit more boisterous. But yeah, I think you're probably not of the financial means that you just have like a room on reserve, whether you're there or not, given the amount of time you spend on the road. So you head over to the hearth.
Friends, shall we head to the hearth?
Heck yeah,
that's good.
All right, the hearth is, of course, the tavern, the only tavern in Candlekeep, and it is, you know, sometimes it is a quiet, somber place of silent study, but today it seems to be a particularly raucous place. It seems like you all just missed some kind of festival, and the after party is taking place in the hearth. There are people telling lots of stories. Seems like there is just, like, an extra number of bards in town. There are multiple musical performances happening in kind of in different corners of the hearth, but really not spaced far enough apart that they are not overlapping into just kind of a cacophony. And it is, you know, some people are having a grand old time. Depending on how your day has been of traveling on the road, you may be weary and a bit overwhelmed by the noise and boisterous and all of this. But this is, you know, the hearth is a place where adventurers, scholars, and bards come together to share stories and knowledge of the outside world. And it seems filled to the rafters today.
I'm 8 feet tall, so I would like to look around from this, like, high vantage point and sort of get the lay of the land as much as I can. Are there any sort of open spaces? Are there any groups of people that look particularly interesting? How is the line to check in? Like, can you give me a bit of an overview from literally overviewing?
There are lots of people, and you see adventurers of all sorts, some that look, you know, let's just say lower level than you, a bunch that seem higher level. Some people seem dressed in some kind of strange costume, possibly related to the festival that you just missed out on. There's multiple people that seem to have improvised large floppy hats and fake mustaches of varying quality. But there is space over by the bar, and you... Furtatha would probably know, Bartleby is the one of the bartenders at the hearth, and he would be a person. You see him, he's a dwarf moving around behind the bar that you could talk to about accommodations.
All right, then I will start, like, using my bulk to sort of push a way for all of us to get through the crowd over to check in with Bartleby.
Okay.
For anybody who wants to follow me.
I'll hang out at the back of the group to keep people away, you know, just kind of flicking my tail, make sure, you know, we have our space.
Yeah.
Love it.
All you right. are, you know, I think you are quite an interesting crew here with, you got a rock gnome, a Goliath barbarian, a tabaxi, a centaur, and a fairy and a cat, and a rug and a closet. So, you
got
know, people give
really
you a little
big,
bit. Yeah.
And then two really small and lapis.
Yep. You know, people give you space, and, you know, the hearth is it's certainly crowded today, but the hearth is not, this is not a place where you have ever seen a bar fight or, you know, any kind of violence. This is not a place where you're in any kind of physical danger. Right now, your greatest danger might be that somebody would spill your drink, because of how crowded it is and how lack of elbow rooms. But the hearth is not a place of shady and spooky places, but a place where people from all over come to share good stories. And, you know, it doesn't hurt. You're within the walls of Candlekeep. The Avowed, the librarian monks that maintain Candlekeep, they're, you know, even if the atmosphere of it was not very kind of peaceful and harmonious, the Avowed would certainly tolerate no violence whatsoever. And, you know, Tulipa, you would have been kind of pointed in the direction that would have been familiar to the rest of you of the rules of conduct for behavior within Candlekeep, which in general are, you know, no violence, and then a whole set of rules about what you are and aren't allowed to do with books. So Frittata, you make your way over, and there is, you know, there's space in the bar. Bartleby is kind of moving back and forth, trying to serve as many people as possible. But you are an 8-foot-tall Goliath, so I think you get his attention.
Yeah. So to describe Frittata a bit, I am an 8-foot-tall barbarian, a large black woman with a red mohawk, and from a distance, it's just like, oh yeah, this is, you know, this very tough lady. But when you get close and you look into her eyes, you realize she's haunted. She has seen some stuff, and it's been rough stuff. So I would just like to point out that commoners will extend me every courtesy and do their utmost to help me, unless I've shown myself to be a danger to them, which I have not. I've met Bartleby before. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm playing that card and sort of using the haunted eyes to be like, hi, Bartleby, we are back. And we have brought a new friend, and we would really appreciate some lodgings for the evening.
Oh, Frittata, it's good to see you. Well, you are getting in a little late, and you can see we are very crowded. Give me 1 minute. I will see what I can do. We're dealing with a lot right now. Here's a beverage, and he puts a mug of something on the bar, and
I'll drink it.
Okay, it is warm.
is it supposed to be?
Unclear. Probably. It's not bad.
Whatever. I'm not.
All right. So, you know, the tavern is very crowded. It is loud. And Bartleby and his staff are scurrying back and forth, putting out beverages and bowls of stew, because I think that's what you serve in taverns for people. But this place is very crowded. Do you want to talk to anyone or do anything before Bartleby returns in just a moment?
I'm not going to, but my pals might want to.
I mean, just going to have a look around and see if I can see anything, because I'm a fairy, so I kind of hover. But I'm probably hovering, I guess, around Erica's height.
You know, there's lots of adventures. There's lots of people that look like they might be scholars. I feel like they're probably kind of squeezed into the middle of the hearth, trying to put themselves as far away from the bards as they can. So there's kind of like, imagine a big giant room with 4 different concerts happening, and then like a room of like a column of nerds in the middle, trying to read quietly to themselves. But really, they've managed to just place themselves at where the 4 concerts overlap. So that's a lot. There are these people in kind of strange costumes. There is an ogre in here, even larger than Frittata, big towering creature. He seems to have kind of a sparkly headband and also some kind of improvised costume that looks vaguely robot-like. I don't know if you know what robots are, but, you know, he's done something with a crate that he's painted gray that he's wearing, and people are kind of giving him a lot of room just because he's kind of clumsy moving around. He might be dancing. He might be having some kind of medical reaction to Stu. It's unclear.
Excellent. Excellent. I might.
Bartleby returns.
Wide berth.
Okay. Bartleby returns to your direction, Frittata. He looks nervous. I'm really sorry about this. I have good news and bad news.
I guess the bad news first, please.
The bad news is all of the normal rooms in the Hearth and the House of Rest are unfortunately all booked up at this point. Real sorry about that. It's, you know, big day today and lots of extra visitors. And we are just booked solid.
What was going on here? Before you get to the good news, I am curious about what the event was.
Oh, we had the big book festival. People dress up as some of their favorite characters, readings from books. It was, you know, a real Scholastic book fair.
Oh, yeah, the BBF.
I thought you were going to say people dressed up as their favorite books, and I really wanted to picture that.
You know, honestly, as a human being, a book fair with cosplay sounds pretty great.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah, I want to be
and
that.
You just missed it.
Yep.
Darn it.
good news?
You know, obviously you being who you are and me being who I am, we can offer you an excellent discount rate on the overflow rooms.
Do I know what the overflow rooms are?
You have never heard of the overflow rooms, Frittata.
How steep of a discount are we talking?
What's your best offer?
2 gold pieces.
That would be overpaying for these.
Yes.
Would
it be? Oh!
Bartleby says.
Neither I nor Furtata has a good idea of what the economy in this in this library
What's
is.
What's a normal
point,
room cost? Because I feel like that's something we would know.
I think a normal room probably costs... this is the thing I should know. There's totally a table for this in the Dungeon Master's book. I suspect a normal room costs like a gold piece. You know... We can work it out in the morning. I don't want to, trust me, this is, you know, you're practically doing us a favor.
I've slept in some pretty shady, awful places. I am a little concerned.
Oh, this is nothing like this.
I'm a little concerned for my friends, and I turn to everybody else and say, crew? What's it, crew? What do you think? There's apparently some overflow rooms.
I mean, we're in the library. We're inside the gates of the library.
Wait, do the people in the overflow rooms fold corners on books? Do we need to be worried about that?
Like dog-ear them?
Those people aren't allowed in, I bet.
Yeah, I think there's a big warning sign of anyone
Damage
has
to
a history
books, Candlekeep would be... Okay.
There's a magical ward against this kind of
people.
Okay,
so we're not going to be dealing with that kind of dangerous person in here. So.
No.
Should be fine.
Yeah.
I got an idea. Let's go camping. Anybody?
I think the overflow room sounds great. It's going to be nice. And well, is there a roof?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Well, then perfect. Let's do
it. Sorry, I slipped out of my portal view. In a way, there's lots of roofs.
Okay. Is there a floor and multiple walls?
Yeah.
Is it enclosed?
It is very enclosed.
Uh-oh.
Very
camping's looking not so bad now, huh?
Are we gonna fit?
It would be hard for it to be less enclosed. But here, let me show you the way.
That sounds like a great idea.
Bartleby flips up the bar, and he opens. There's a staff only door behind the in the space behind the bar, and assuming you follow him, he leads the way down a very kind of cramped, narrow kind of passageway through some storerooms behind the bar of the hearth, and leads you to there's kind of just a hatch at the end of this long kind of room packed full of kegs of beer and various supplies for making food and whatnot. And Bartleby opens the hatch. There's a short drop or with a ladder, and you can see kind of a warmish glow.
We have a centaur with us.
Oh, don't worry, I'm very nimble.
We learned this in the attic.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, they're, the accessibility of this space is not great. And Bartleby says, welcome to Firefly Cellar. This is kind of like an annex of Candlekeep Library. There are our collections down there, and you would be staying with some of the Avowed and, you know, anyone else already in the overflow housing. But I'm told it's very nice.
So... As an acolyte of my faith, I feel like I'd be kind of right at home here.
Mm-hmm. There is the smell of dry books wafting up. Baby.
I mean, we're all in.
That's
I think,
the best.
Right?
Yeah. That musty smell. Yeah. Mm-hmm. More dry book smell.
Yeah. As a lone barbarian wandering the land looking for her long lost brother, I feel like this would be fine for me. Yeah. So I'm just checking out with everybody else.
How long is the drop? Will I be able to get back up?
I think it's like a 5-foot drop, and then you can see there's like a spiral staircase headed down.
Okay. So I should be.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It poses accessibility quandaries. Certainly. This seems like, why would you design a thing that has a hatch into a spiral staircase? Why wouldn't you make the spiral staircase go just a little bit taller?
Yeah.
I think certainly we can question the design of this place. I think there are other things that you will discover about the design of this place that suggest that design is a strong word to have used so much as just made.
So basically, I can stand at the top of the spiral. To get back out, I can stand on my hind legs to go up and then pull myself up.
You'll have to kind of do like a centaur pull up, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I got it.
Cool.
It's no big. It's not a problem.
All right.
You almost.
I know.
Hey, almost a little poorly.
I've had a lot of poorly in my ears because I listened to them all day. I should have listened to my own, podcast and remembered who I am. But it's fine. I know poorly.
I'm sure you can
So I gotta say, Lil Antony is throwing a bit of a fit. He is three stars or above kind of person. But I'm trying to talk him off the ledge. So we can make this work. All right.
All right.
I mean, I think the cat's not particularly happy. Cats don't really like strange places, but it'll be fine. Ew.
No, I'm Polly.
All right. So let's say that you descend the ladder. There's some stairs. The stairs spiral down. There is kind of a warm glow coming from this, and it smells like books and wooden furniture. The spiral staircase opens. It continues down, but it opens into a large room. It's a huge circular room. And it contains these curved dark wood bookcases packed with books of all kinds of shapes, sizes, and ages. There are flowers and ceramic pots that are kind of lining the tops of the shelves that honestly give this place kind of a nice homey fragrance. There are alcoves around the library that have statues or little reading chairs in them. And hanging from the ceiling over kind of an overlook that looks down on even more levels is a giant... is statue the right word? A giant stone sculpture of an open book, as if in flight. The stairs do keep going down if you want, but looking into this space, there is a somewhat older looking, this creature appears to be a sun elf. She is dressed in kind of fancy robes, but with hints of purple, that being the color choice of the Avowed, the librarians. There she is perched on top of a ladder, arranging some of the flower pots at the very top of the bookshelf, and she calls out to you, Ebder, is that you? Are you back?
No Ebder here.
Oh, she kind of looks at you from on top of the ladder. It's a little awkward. Visitors, welcome. I am Scribe Varnir. Sorry for the state of things. As you can see, the restorations is a work in progress. I will be with you shortly. You know what? Actually, could you take these books down to Ebder and you will find, I assume you're looking for the overflow housing. Your rooms are on the most bottom level.
Okay, I'm curious. I've never seen these rooms before. This is fantastic. Is there perhaps a section in here about interdimensional travel or the activities of Onis? Just curious.
Well, there the Firefly Cellar is a bit of a strange place. This is where we do kind of book repairs, and there's a lot of overflow storage here, not just for visitors but for books. Section is a strong word. very much here a work in progress here in Firefly Cellar. Okay.
All right, I'm gonna flash my haunted look and just be like, if you happen to run across any tomes that cover those things, I would very much appreciate you getting in touch with me. My name is Pratata. I'm looking for my brother. He is another Goliath barbarian. His name is Rafflekeesh. And if you happen to find anything about interdimensional travel or Onis, he was taken by one many years ago, and it's very important to me to find him.
I will keep...
But for now, I will be happy to take these books for you.
I will keep my eyes open, and perhaps if we can't find something here, maybe we can find something in the main collection tomorrow. But it's what stories we might share later. It's good to meet you.
Indeed.
And I've put I set this up a little bit differently. Do you see kind of to the right of the map, there's a picture of Varnir and information. I'm going to do it that way. So it just stays kind of persistent.
Where did you get your shoes, Varnir? Those are beautiful. Obviously,
yes.
I can't wear them, but I just adore shoes.
They are quite lovely. Varnir is wearing, I don't know how to describe these. Are those calf high? They're almost knee high boots. With kind of fancy binding all up the side, and these old things, I inherited them actually.
They look like giant spats.
Yes.
Well, I think I quite like them.
They're lovely.
They're
lovely.
You know,
love them.
You're always on your feet here in Candlekeep, and so you've got to stay comfortable.
Absolutely. They should call it Candle Feet. Hey.
I don't think that makes any sense, but you seem like a delight.
Right back at you.
Yes, well, Ebder will be waiting for those books.
Of course.
Yeah, if it's too many for me, I'll pass them
it
around so that we can all
carry some books. It is okay. Significantly less books than one Goliath could carry.
And probably significantly more books than one fairy can carry.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Is there a tiny chat book I could just like hand
a bookmark?
Yeah, there's like a pamphlet on the top is a pamphlet. The pamphlet is so you want to know about magic.
Aww.
It looks extremely self-published. Just to make sure we're kind of oriented right, you can all see this map, hopefully okay. This is kind of the top level of Firefly Cellar. I guess I should mention, I don't think I've mentioned it yet, the illumination for this section of the library is these kind of lantern-like things that are illuminated by fireflies, hence the name Firefly Cellar. So they give off kind of a warm glow to it.
Cozy.
Yeah, very cozy. So Varnir is there arranging books, and the stairs that you all emerge from there also head down to lower levels. There's also an overlook here for the level and various statues, reading chairs, whatnot, in the many, many nooks around Firefly Cellar. So what next, adventurers?
I actually really dig this place, and I'm super pleased that all of the other rooms were taken.
Right? Yes, this pretty is cool. So pretty.
Although, wait until we get down to wherever we're supposed to sleep.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be totally fine and normal. We're going to have comfortable beds. We're going to wake up in the morning and continue on our normal
thing. This is one of those adventures where you're so well rested, you just wake up and you're a level higher, and we just go on to the next one.
Yep, that's totally manifesting.
Honestly, considering how life has been lately and how my sleep has been lately, that sounds like the perfect kind of like escapist RPG thing.
Right?
Your character has a good night's sleep.
Yeah. Okay.
Win.
Oh, Erica, I hope we're still friends after this.
Oh no.
Teehee. All right. Yeah, I say like I look around and you guys good to go?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. You head down the spiral staircase to the next level. Making things of it. The spiral staircase goes down. It ends at this level. This level is similar. It's a huge circular room with lots of curved bookcases. Let me just find my description of this room. For Tata, I'll assume that you are leading the way with the books. A small child runs right into you and bounces off you. She looks up at you with kind of wide eyes. It appears to be maybe a 5 or 6 year old girl, and then just immediately runs off in the other direction into the stacks. Looking around, this seems to be yet more books storage. Lots of huge concentric rings of wooden bookcases, musty, overwhelming smell of books in the air. Looking across the area between the bookshelves, you can see a big granite table in the center of the circular bookshelves. An old man in the robes of the Avowed is working there. The small girl that collided with you seems to enter from another direction and run in circles around the old man while he good-naturedly shushes her.
What was the name? Edder?
Ebb.
That she had said upstairs?
Ebder, I think.
Ebder, okay. I have it zoomed out so much I can't read it. Are you Ebder?
Oh, yes. I'm Ebder. What can I do for you?
My name is Frittata. These are my friends, Polly, Hermione, Lapis, Tulipa, and company. And we are apparently staying in some overflow rooms, and Farnir asked me to deliver these books to you, and I hand the books.
Oh, these are not for me. This is for one of the...
I flutter over and drop the pamphlet on top and sit on Hermione's back for a moment to recatch my breath.
And please keep your voices down. I'm trying to get my child to settle down here. These are actually for one of the scholars staying with us down in the overflow rooms. You'll meet him shortly, I expect. If you wouldn't mind, I'm sure you wouldn't mind strong, hardy adventurers such as yourselves taking these down to the bottom level. You'll find your rooms there. Help yourself to anything that's not already occupied.
Thank you.
Gilby collides with Hermione and giggles loudly. Gilby being the small child. Ebder says, Gilby! You're adorable, but we need to get you to sleep soon. Gilby sounds like a small child.
All right.
Don't want to sleep.
Is it the stairs that we were already coming down?
Ebder points you across the giant room to another set of stairs that go down to the further. I will also mention there's a door on the north and south side of this big circular room, but they have kind of staff only signs on them.
All right. I mean, I'll just shrug and start trudging toward the staircase unless somebody stops me.
No. Yeah, I'll just flutter up a little bit and conveniently, covertly look around just to see if there's anything interesting up there whilst on my way, because this is very clearly how fairies fly when not encumbered by pamphlets.
And I'm sorry, Tulipa, which thing did you want to look at, I guess?
I was just going to have a look around, see if there was anything interesting in this on this level in general that maybe would be out of sight otherwise.
You were looking around. It does seem like, you know, this is... there are these kind of like work tables set up this big work table set up in the middle of the room, divided up into spaces. It's like there was a big circle with little wedges cut out of it. There are stacks of books along it. This place is kind of a mess compared to other parts of Candlekeep. Clearly this is a place where they're doing book repair and like resorting stuff and stuff that like basically probably just isn't valuable enough to be in the main collection. So even just like flitting by one of the bookcases, it's like it's all a mishmash of things that perhaps are waiting to be sorted because they are not organized in any kind of semblance here, as opposed to the rest of Candlekeep, which is, you know, famed for its organization and structure. This is very much... they're like, this is the basement. This is where we keep all the stuff that we haven't had a chance to deal with yet. On the west side of the this main floor, there are stairs that take you down yet another level. For Tata, I will continue to assume that you are kind of leading the way. The stairs go down another level. You now feel like you are you're literally three or four levels beneath the hearth. You know, there's kind of a weird quietness to the enclosure, but also, you know, it does feel kind of warm and homey. The glow of these fireflies illuminating everything is actually kind of nice, I think, for most of you. So there is a narrow passageway that you follow, and it opens up into a room that looks like it's some kind of kitchen. There is another avowed in here. This appears to be a Kenku, which is a bird-like creature wearing beak to claws? I don't know. Beak to feet, purple robes with a hood, kind of an old-looking bird with kind of patchy feathers going back and forth. It looks like cleaning up after dinner in this little kitchen, working away there, that's set up. You know, the accommodations here seem relatively modest. The avowed do tend to live kind of a life of simplicity in their monk-like librarian existence. But the Kenku looks up from scrubbing some dishes and says, "Hello there." For those of you who have not encountered a Kenku before, Kenku are very kind of unusual species as far as their communication goes. Kenku communicate only in sound effects or in pieces of audio, I guess, that they have heard before. They aren't capable of their own kind of dialogue, but in repeating things, sounds, and bits of speech that they have heard before.
I will say we are looking for the overflow rooms, and I have some books for someone.
The Kenku gestures. There's a door right off the kitchen, the only door that seems to lead deeper into the basement here of Firefly Cellar.
All right.
All right. So, assuming you head that way, Furtado, you open the door, and there are several, you're now kind of, this as opposed to the kind of wider open areas before, this is kind of a more like catacomb-like little network of little rooms. You do see some of the doors, I think, are probably ajar, and it looks like you are kind of now in the probably the private quarters slash overflow sleeping rooms for the Avowed.
Is it late enough that if I like shouted there are books here for someone that it would be super duper rude, or is it early enough that okay? then I will just sort of were we told the name of who these are for, or did it just say for
one of the scholars?
One of the scholars.
Okay. I have a book delivery here.
One of the
I'll read the title of like the top book or something.
Yep. One of the doors about halfway down the little hallway pops open, and a tabaxi pops his head out of the door. She has kind of a leopard print coloring to her fur. She is dressed kind of on the fancy side, suggesting that she is perhaps either an adventurer or a scholar of means. And she says, "Oh, delightful. I have been waiting for those all afternoon. Please, I'll take those from you." And the tabaxi, which again are kind of a cat-like humanoid people, Lapis being one of them, scurries for Furtado and kind of scoops the books out of your arm. Thank you so ever so much.
You're welcome. Is there a room that you know is available for us to hunker down in?
Oh, yes. You must be, like myself, late arrivals, stuck in the overflow rooms. Well, I've claimed this one. She kind of gestures over her shoulder, the room behind her. But there are rooms, and she kind of, we'll say, just sidles down the hallway and opens up two doors here and says, "I know these are available as well," and opens up some of the other doors on the hallway. She says, "I believe the rest are all the private quarters of the Avowed." I'm so rude of me. My name is Gitala. I'm a scholar.
It's nice to meet you. I am Furtado. This is Lapis, Tulipa, Hermione, Polly, and company.
Charmed, I'm sure. There are ever so many of you.
Indeed. Yes.
Does this room in the bottom corner have enough beds for everybody, or is that a counter in the corner?
There is a room in the corner that seems to have many beds crammed into it. It looks like it is the most overflow of overflow bedrooms, lots of little cots and beds pushed into it. It would be a little cramped, but I think you could all fit in there.
I mean, I'm not saying we need to. I'm just curious.
Yeah, you are very small.
Also, this might be incredibly racially insensitive, but Hermione,
yes.
Do you sleep standing up?
I am going to make this up because I don't actually know centaurs in D&D, so we're going to say that yes, they can sleep standing up, because that sounds like the horse part is at the bottom. So yes, I can stand.
But you might appreciate being able to lie down every once in a while.
Yes, occasionally. Yeah. But
and you'd like to be somewhere warm and cozy.
Yeah.
Right?
Warm and dry is my biggest thing. So the beds are for you all, and I will gladly sleep on the floor.
Mm-hmm. I mean, probably none of them is big enough for me anyway. And I
But we can put a couple of them together maybe, and then like Polly and there,
like, I can sleep
his
on the cat.
Crew can sit. Yeah, yeah. I think we can make this work. I think we can make it
the
work.
The cat can sleep on Hermione's back, and I can sleep on the cat's back. And
exactly.
I mean,
we've got a stacking thing.
Yeah,
a little pyramid of adventures.
Reference acknowledged. I am happy to split up into two rooms, but my previous experiences here are that sometimes things happen in the middle of the night, and I would
feel more comfortable if we were all together.
Yeah. Feels like splitting up is going to be
cuddles is also okay, having some cuddles.
Cuddles with cuddles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I mean, I like the idea of like lying cuddles down in front of the doorway.
Oh,
yeah.
Catella comments as you bring a rug in through the hall. Wow. You travel with your own furniture. That is classy.
Oh, yes. We've been doing this a while.
Yeah.
Wow.
Got to have your home comforts with you. Got to have your
Catella
home comforts.
Catella seems genuinely impressed by you.
What brings you here, Catella?
Oh, well, as I said, I am I'm a scholar, independent scholar. I'm doing some research on, like, where does magic come from? Like, where does it really come from? So, you know, your old history of magic thing. I'm hoping to be published. So excellent. I came here to do research. I arrived only a few hours ago, around midday.
What was the book that you, if you don't mind my asking, what was the book that you used for your entrance fee?
Oh, I had a history of Tabaxi genealogy from my whole tribe. Yes, there was none like it in the Candlekeep Library. So I was glad to share that knowledge with the Avowed and with future visitors to Candlekeep.
That sounds fascinating. Speaking of genealogy, have you ever run across another Goliath barbarian, looks very much like me, only male, answers to the name Rafflekeesh, by any chance?
I don't think I have. I will admit I am... I have not traveled as far and wide, perhaps, as you all, and this life on the road is a bit new to me, but I am excited to explore what the world has to offer. And this Candlekeep place is quite the place.
Well, it is. If you ever do, please look me up. I've been searching for my brother for a very long time. But for now, unless anybody else wants to sit and chat, I think it's time for me to turn in.
Little Anthony wants to know when we get those little them things on the pillow.
Oh, the mints?
That's turn down service.
Yeah, them things on the pillow at night.
Yeah. It's in
Little
the morning.
Anthony may be not leaving a very high review of the Firefly Cellar.
Fritata has been through this before, so subtly like takes a little mint out of her pocket.
Yeah.
And just like says, I'm pretty sure that will happen soon.
All right, so, is yeah. there anything you want to do before you I don't know, go to sleep? There are, so just to recap the people you've met Bartleby, or who you knew before, the bartender at the hearth, and then the people down here in Firefly Cellar are Varnir, Sun Elf Librarian, Ebder, Human Librarian, Katala, visiting a Tabaxi Scholar, and you didn't meet the I guess you didn't get the name of the Kanku Librarian, but there's also a Kanku Librarian here as well. So that's plus all of you, also many of you are the current occupants of Overflow storage / accommodations here in Firefly Cellar.
Have we eaten yet? Should we get some dinner and before bed?
That sounds like a very good idea. I was going to sneakily use one of my cantrips, the Druidcraft, to create a little flower blossom on the pillow for Anthony, just to make sure that there's definitely some happiness going on here, so we don't have anybody being too cranky tonight.
Mm-hmm. Like he does it. Get
I mean,
very
he's
cranky.
Definitely... Yeah, he's the one we want to keep happy for sure. Yeah.
He might eat your face in the middle of the night.
Yeah. I mean, I was just going to make a little flower blossom and just leave it on the pillow next to the mint.
Hermione, you could go poke around in the kitchen, see what there is to be found, but it does seem like you perhaps have arrived a little late for meal service.
Yeah, but if there's some scraps or bread or cheese or
scraps.
Something.
Leftovers.
Yeah, leftovers. So you head back into the kitchen. The Kenku is there, kind of sweeping the kitchen. Looks like things are a little shut down. She looks at you kind of expectantly.
Do you have any food?
Maybe. The Kenku scurries around and opens up a little cabinet and pulls out a loaf of bread and a small block of cheese. She puts them on a plate with a knife for you.
Ooh, silverware. Thank you. So fancy.
Yes. I say thank you to the Kenku and, you know, show my appreciation. Bow my head.
Sleep well.
Oh.
Thank you very much. This is not at all terrifying.
Nope. All right, I'm going to take the bread and cheese into the room with and share it with everyone else.
Okay. You hear the sound of I guess, a snoring small child being carried by a creaky old man make its way down as Ebder walks down the hallway carrying Gelby, who is snoring, and tucks her in. It sounds like he is then in his adjoining room. The other avowed, it seems like, turning in as well to their various quarters around the space here. Anything else you want to do before you get the benefits of a long rest?
No, let's rest. Little Antony is chowing down on his mint rather ferociously, mm-hmm. getting chocolate everywhere. Everyone's really upset.
Yep.
But, you know, we make it work. I just flip over the pillow and I'll get ready to go to bed.
Oh, God.
Just another night with Little Antony.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
All right.
It's not only the cool side of the pillow, it's the chocolate
side. Oh, God. It's really hard to get chocolate out of things, too. That is...
Yeah.
You're just lucky. Little Antony's reviews may be harsh, but no one is reviewing Little Antony.
I'm pretty sure in the morning he will have eaten the pillow, so we're cool. No evidence. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm. We need to invest in some brown pillowcases. So
I mean, not if he's going to eat them. Not if he's going to eat them.
That's true. That would get expensive fast.
All right. Yeah. Your sleep is uneventful. You wake up the next day feeling relatively well rested and ready for the day.
That's how I know this is a game.
Yep. escapism.
Woo! Can I take one of those to go, please?
Oh, God, I wish. You are kind of headed, directed up to the main level where breakfast is being served, and you find the various members of the Avowed seated there, as well as Catulla. Crinkle and Varnir seem to be on breakfast duty and are going back and forth between the kitchen and this the main level, bringing various plates of hot butter toast and something that seems potato related. You know, it's kind of nice.
I mean, that's a perfect breakfast.
Yeah.
Starch on starch on starch.
Yep.
I mean, there's some fats in there.
Gimme.
So people seem relatively well rested. Catulla has Ebder like basically kind of like cornered and is just talking at length about the history of magic as she philosophizes it. Ebder seems unable to escape that conversation. Gilby is running in circles with a piece of toast. It probably feels good to have slept a night in a bed and been able to get some hot food after perhaps what your life had been like, at least on the road to Candlekeep, if not before then, in perhaps travel out there in the wild. Everyone feel good?
I feel great. I slept all night.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, and you know, it's nice.
I had toast with butter.
Yeah, it's nice to have a night without monsters attacking you, without having to sleep on a rock, all kinds of things. Hermione, though, you feel a little weird. It's like you had kind of you wake up with just kind of, you know, it's not unusual to wake up with a song in your heart, but you seem to just have this kind of tune rattling around in your head, and you can't help but, as you sit there enjoying a stack of buttered toast, but kind of humming it, maybe at first under your breath, but then just a little bit louder and louder. Hermione, what does that sound like?
Do 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 do. Do, do, do.
I can see how that would get into your head.
Do, 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 do. Do, do.
Break it down.
And as Hermione, you know, you're all just sitting there enjoying a meal and, you know, maybe you just started off with lots of chatter at the beginning, but, you know, it's good to have a meal and there's kind of a quiet and you just hear the sound of Hermione humming this tune. And then you realize all of you are humming it as well. I'm just going to try and play something here in Roll20. Let's see if this works. But you realize all of you have this tune in your head.
I have to say, I was super impressed that when you started playing it, it was like, that is exactly what Kathy just
Yeah.
Thank you.
That is very spooky. Very spooky.
I've listened to it a lot.
Yeah. Thank you. Kathy is one of those people when you're like, I need a conspirator for this adventure. And Kathy is like, yes, I will
yes,
be your
please.
Conspirator.
Living plot hook.
Yep. So, Hermione, you are humming this tune, and you realize at first it's like you thought you were kind of doing it, like, to yourself, under your breath, and then you realize you are humming it pretty much out loud, and then all of you realize you're not just listening to Hermione humming it, but you are humming it as well. We're going to do something ridiculous here. Do you all want to try humming it together for the podcast? Lead us, Kathy. Perfect.
Nailed it. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Nailed it. So you're all kind of humming it, and in fact it's strangely entrancing such that it requires it's almost like you are like casting a spell, like that is your focus and concentration on it, for those of you who are seasoned spellcasters, and like breaking your concentration away from it. It's like there's something about that tune in your head that is kind of sticky. Varnir comes into the room. She is holding a plate of yet more buttered bread and sees all of you kind of sitting there humming, Ebder and Catulla and Little Antony and Galeby and everyone with you humming. And she drops the plate of butter toast clattering to the floor and runs off for the stairs to the upper level.
I'm going to, with my hooves, still making the noise, go and get the toast.
All right. You clop over to the toast in rhythm and scoop it up onto a plate.
What do I need to roll now that I'm conscious of what's happening and I'm conscious of needing to make an effort to break away from humming the tune? Mm-hmm. Or focusing on the tomb, what do I need to roll to figure out more about what's happening?
What kind of thing do you think this might be? And then you might learn something based on that roll.
Well, it feels magical, so I would think Arcana would be a good...
I'd like to help with that. I have plus five. Thing.
Seems like a reasonable so place to start.
Oh, you roll it. You roll it, because I...
And Talitha, yeah. Right. So and you roll it, and you have, if Lapis is helping you, you have advantage, so roll twice, take the higher.
I just have a quick logistical question. Are we in the little kitchen near where we woke up, or are we up in the actual, like, Bartleby's bar area?
You are in the main room of Firefly Cellar here with the granite table with Ebder and Catulla. So you have not left Firefly Cellar yet.
I rolled a 17, so that's 22.
All right, Talitha, you seem, you know, as you think about this, that like the stickiness of that song in your head feels unnatural in a way that is almost certainly some kind of magic at work. It is unlike anything you have experienced before. But there does seem like it feels like perhaps the closest thing that it might be similar to is like some kind of curse that perhaps you and all of your compatriots here are infected with.
Frittata, like, I'm very smart, but my wisdom is very low. I am just rocking out to this tune right now. I'm just like, do, 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 like, jazzing it up a little bit, having a great time.
Vibing.
Not paying any attention to what anybody else is doing right now.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So that is what we know what Frittata is doing. Tulipa
nothing
and,
helpful.
I apologize, Rosemary. I think I have pronounced your character's name several times in different ways. Tulipa?
That's fine.
Tulipa?
Tulipa? Tulipa.
Tulipa. So Tulipa and Lapis are concerned with identifying what's going on with this.
Yep.
Hermione, you were concerned with Toast.
Yes.
Polly, how are you dealing with this new information?
I'm still humming it in my head, but I'm kind of getting really annoyed. Like, it's making me a little bit mad, because it's super incessant and I can't really take it anymore. So, I guess I want to roll something to try and figure out where this is coming from.
Roll something.
If I want to try and figure out, like, where I heard it before, like try and remember, maybe like a history check or something.
Yeah, that sounds totally reasonable.
Could I help you with that?
Yeah, I got a 9.
Okay, well, if I'm helping you with that, then you get to roll again.
It's true.
Okay, I'll roll again. And 9, 10, 11 this time.
Okay.
Polly, you are racking your brains. It is maddening because you're like, have I heard this before? And there is both something very familiar about it. You get the feeling like there are words that go with this tune, and it is extremely frustrating that you can't figure out what those words are. As you're all sitting around figuring out these things, you hear it from above you, the dramatic sounds of clanking, grinding of metal gears, and something kind of locking shut. Varnir appears back on the spiral staircase. She's kind of dusting her hands and says, excuse me. Well, anyway, obviously we're all cursed, and I have notified the Avowed of our situation, and to keep this horrible from spreading to the rest of Candlekeep, we are sealed in here until further notice. Go about your business.
All right, let's
protocol for locking the curse in here.
What is the nature of this horrible magic tune that has befallen our heroes? What is the nature of this quarantine that has forced them to be locked here in Firefly Cellar? What horrible secrets about our avowed friends and each other will we learn? For answers to questions such as these, tune in next time to Total Party Kill, Candlekeep Mysteries, Shemtime's Bedtime Prime.